While driving to church, to the church office a couple of weeks ago, I reached out to a most precious lady, a woman of God, who I love so dearly. And many of you know her, Lynetta Dorsey. And Lynetta has been a member here for over 40 years. Hallelujah. I call her often as she's been fighting the good fight of faith for many years. And I wanted to see what a good time would be for me to go and have a visit with her. And so, as I turned the corner and I came into the parking lot, I had her on the phone. I was talking, and you know, the Holy Spirit just moved on me, just prompted me to pause, to take a moment and just to really talk with her about what she has meant to me. You know, things can get so busy. You can have so many things on your plate. And it was one of those times that the Holy Ghost says, stop, put everything else aside. And if you will just simply follow that leading, you will not have regrets on the other side of it. And so that's exactly what I did that day. I'm so glad I did it that day. You know, because things can call to us and we can override it with reasoning. But again, took that pause. And so Lynetta has been such an example to all of us, and to especially me as a worshiper of God. She walked in just a childlike trust. Oh, hallelujah. You know you're safe when you walk in her footsteps because they're steadfast. They're immovable. They're rooted and established in the Word. You know, they're unshakable. That's her footsteps. And they're steps of faith, steps of integrity. Don't we need integrity, church, in the day that we're living in? Steps of integrity. They're steps of love. And you can follow her as she's followed Christ. She would be 90 years old on September 25th. Isn't that right, Mark? Praise God. Well, we had a beautiful conversation that day. And that conversation would be our last. And so just days later, I went to see her, and she was surrounded by her precious family. And oh, just hours later, what a glorious entrance into heaven that she had. You know, there will be a celebration service for Lynetta, and that will be coming up next month. And the family's still working out the details. But one thing about Lynetta I want you to make note of is that for her to live was Christ, and to die was gain. And so during our conversation, we shared many things. Again, I just told her how much she's helped me by allowing me to watch her through the good, through the difficult, you know, through times that stress would have people turn, and she held steady in her confession of faith. Amen. She finished her course. She walked in faith. Amen. And so during our conversation, I shared things with her and she shared things with me. Many things. And one of the things she shared was about a loved one. And she said how blessed she was and how much joy she had because they were winning in life by losing. And so those words stuck with me and they've inspired this message tonight. Winning by losing. And so, praise the Lord. Last week, Pastor Tom did an awesome job on his series, Know When to Hold Them and Know When to Fold Them. And so this message is on the same freeway, but we're on a different lane, okay? But we're headed in the same direction. And praise the Lord, I believe it's going to just minister to each of us tonight. So we must learn to know and trust the leading of the Holy Spirit to fully walk in this revelation, because you cannot be led by your own will, your own reasoning, your own emotions, to be able to know when to hold them and when to fold them, or how to win by losing. That's something that you must do by walking in the Spirit. Amen. and hearing the voice of the Holy Ghost. And it's easier for you to hear His voice when you're filled with His Word. Because He uses His Word to speak to you. And He, the Holy Ghost, is the one that brings enlightenment and revelation of the Word to your hearts and to your understanding. Amen. And so, the Holy Spirit is our guide. He will guide us and lead us into all truth. Matthew 16, verses 24 to 26. Let's take a look at that in the King James Version. It says, "Then Jesus said to His disciples, 'If anyone desires to come after Me, let him what? Deny himself and take up his cross and follow Me. For whosoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whosoever loses his life for My sake will find it. For what shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul?'" What would you give in exchange for your true self? Amen? Because so many things come to us that want us to kind of emulate them in life. Symbols of status, symbols of success, symbols of, you know, approval of men. But, hallelujah, glory to God, we're not going to exchange any of those things for our true self. That who God has called us to be individually. And you're all so precious. He give each and every one of you a fingerprint that's unique to you. A voice pattern, an eye pattern that's unique to you. Because you were created so special. And He has special things for you to do that nobody else could take your place to do. Hallelujah. So, we want to make sure that we're walking in the plan, will, and purposes of God for our life and for our destiny. We don't want to exchange anything for that, so that we can stand before the Lord one day and, like Lynetta, hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord." Amen? In the Message translation, it says it this way: "Then Jesus went to work on His disciples, and anyone who intends to come with Me has to let Me lead. You're not in the driver's seat. I am." Hallelujah. So in other words, Jesus, take the wheel. Amen? Hallelujah. Well, let's look at a couple of things. Can you name some things in which we can win by losing? We just read it just a moment ago. How about this one? Your own will. Your own will. When you can win by laying down your own will and picking up His will. Jesus Himself prayed it, didn't He? He said, "Not My will, but Your will, Father, be done." The will of the Father in your life. You can win by losing your own will. By trusting in your own way. Because there's a way that seemeth right unto man, but what does it end up in? It ends up in the absence of God's presence in your life. Hallelujah. We don't want to be there. So we can win by surrendering all. Hallelujah. People get fearful and can be filled with worry when they don't know what's going to happen next. And many times that results in them trying to take things into their own hands. The result is stress and anxiety and even panic. What's going to happen next? Remember that cartoon character, Chicken Little? And he'd run around, he'd cry out, "Ah, the sky is falling! The sky is falling!" The worst case scenario. And sometimes people want to control situations because they feel like that's going to help. But how many of you know that temptation to control something is something that you have to lose so that you can win? Because you have to put it into the hands of the one who controls all things. Amen? Like, can we redeem ourselves? Can we redeem our situations with our own hands? No way. Hallelujah. So we've got to trust in the one who can. And we've got to lose control and lose our own will to win. Amen? And by losing, we win. How about losing worry? Again, that kind of couples in with that same thing. Losing worry. But you can win by losing worry because you can receive his peace. You can't have the peace that surpasses your understanding or all understanding without giving up the right to understand. Let me say that again. You can't have the peace that surpasses all understanding without giving up the right to understand. You see, here we know in part. And unless the Lord reveals certain things to you, some things are secret things that belong to Him. And we won't know all things here. We may not understand all things here. But that is the greatest moment for you to trust God and bring Him glory when you don't understand. But you say, Lord, I trust you anyway. How could this happen? I trust you anyway. Lord, what's going to happen? I trust you anyway. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So you win by losing worry by receiving His peace. Jesus said this, let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Say it with me, church. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. The words of Jesus, they're in red. You win by losing control. You win by giving Him the driver's seat, because He is trustworthy. No matter the situation, He'll lead you to a place of victory. Have you found that to be true? As you trust in Him and you walk out in situations, He'll lead you to victory. Maybe you have to go through the valley of Baca in some situations. Sometimes you just can't go over, under, around. You've got to go through. And other times God will just miraculously deliver you out. But whatever the case is, He is trustworthy. He will be with you in the valley of the shadow of death. And He will have His rod and His staff to comfort you and to lead and guide you to green pastures beside still waters, even when everything around you is raging. He will give you beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, and the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. There's a garment that you can put on, that you can wear. It's the garment of praise. And it'll take you over to the other side. Praise and be raised. Amen. Glory to God. He'll give you comfort when you need comfort. Comfort for your sorrow. If you lose your sorrow, you're going to win His peace and His comfort. So you can win by losing. You can win by losing. The God who restores your life, He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. He will be with you. And I'm telling you what, He'll see you through. I remember when my mama went to heaven in 1990. I was young. I had three little kids. She was my support. She watched them. She helped me with them. It was such a blessing in my life. And I did not expect her to die. And I remember just before, the week before, the Holy Spirit's so precious because He'll help to strengthen you in situations that He knows is coming your way. And I remember, Pastor Tom, you remember this song. I remember you singing it, leading worship with it, and it went like this. The steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord, and He will preserve you. He will sustain you. He will lift you up. And when we sang that song on, I think it was a Sunday, the Holy Spirit brought those words to my heart, and they just, oh. It's like I knew He was speaking to me, but I didn't want to know what He was speaking to me about. You know what I mean? But I felt strength even then, even before I got that call. And I'm telling you what, I trust in those words in the deepest, darkest time. Lord, You're going to order my steps. I don't know how this is going to turn out. I don't know what I'm going to do. But I know that You're going to order my steps, and You're going to preserve me. You're going to sustain me, and You're going to lift me up. And that's what He does in our lives. When we lose our lives and pick up His life, we win. Winning by losing. Here's another thing. How about losing the right to be offended? We all get tempted with that. I mean, you can get tempted before walking out the door. What are you going to do with that? Offense or forgiveness. You got to lose the right to be offended. It's really a poison. And you know what? When you ingest poison, and that's what offense can do. It becomes poison. When you ingest that and you start to murmur and complain and feel the effect of it, it's like poison and it's toxic. But it's not toxic to the other person. It's toxic to you.
That's right.
Poison doesn't kill somebody else. It kills the person who ingests it. And so we've got to lose the right to be offended and pick up His forgiveness for people.
Amen.
You know?
Amen.
In 1 Thessalonians, it says this. It says, admonish the unruly, encourage the faint-hearted, and comfort the feeble-minded. That's pastoral care.
Yes.
And be patient with all.
Yes.
And that's the challenge. Sometimes we don't want to be patient with situations. But Jesus said in His word, God said in His word, be patient with all. Amen. I remember there was a time when somebody did something, really said something so hurtful. And I was so hurt and offended by it. And I was complaining to the Lord, and I said, Lord, this is not right. I have every right to be angry at this person. And the Holy Spirit said to me, yes, you have every right to be angry with that person. I said, thank You, Lord. But then the next voice said this, but love does not insist on its own rights or its own ways, for it's not self-seeking. So you know what I needed to do? I needed to pray for that one that caused the offense. I had to let go, and I won by losing. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I think about the woman with the issue of blood. What did she lose? She lost her dignity. She lost her dignity for His touch. Will you lose your dignity for His touch? I mean, she had the issue of blood and she was not allowed to be out in public. But she took the risk and she pressed through the crowd. You've got to press through a lot of things. A lot of things to get to Jesus.
Yes.
But His touch One touch from the Master. Oh, hallelujah, one touch from the Master. It's worth everything that you have to press through in your soul, in your mind, with all your strength to obtain the promises of God. Hallelujah. And healing's a promise. How about winning your own thought for God's thought? I think about Naaman when I think about that. He had to lose his own thought because, of course, Naaman had leprosy. And Naaman wanted to be healed. And so he went to the prophet of God. He called for the prophet. And I'm telling you what, it was just like he wanted the prophet to come out and wave. He said, wave something over him, like a magic wand or something. And then he's healed. But the prophet told him, you got to go dip in the filthy Jordan River 7 times to be cleansed. And he was what? He was offended at that. He didn't want it to be that way. You know, we can't tell God how he wants to bring deliverance to us. Sometimes we want to tell him how to do it. We've got to trust him to do it. You can't tell him, you got to trust him. And he's going to lead you differently, different times, because he wants you to be led by the spirit of faith. So he's not going to let you trust in a formula. So the way you got healed one time may be different than the way you receive healing the next time. He wants you to trust in him. And so Naaman was one thought away from a miracle. Had he just took his little thought and went home with it, which he tried to do, he would have missed out on being cleansed of leprosy.
That's right.
So he lost his thought for a higher thought. He won by losing. How about Joseph? Well, let me just, before I say something about Joseph, let me quickly say something about Bartimaeus that you talked about last week. He won by losing his cloak. Notice we're talking a lot about coats and cloaks and those kinds of things tonight. You know, that was, again, his license to beg. It was his provision. His own hands' way of obtaining provision in his life. And so, in order to receive his sight, he cast off that cloak, as Pastor Tom shared with us last week. And in doing so, he cast off, he was blind. How was he going to see where it was at? His license to beg, his provision. So he lost his security. But he won in doing so, because we know that he received his sight. Can you imagine the world that that opened up for him? Because he was willing to win by losing what was in his own control? Praise the Lord. Amen. Things we can learn from these lessons. Let's talk about Joseph for just a moment. Joseph lost his coat of many colors. It was a coat that his father had given to him. And it represented favoritism. It represented honor. And it represented love shown to him by his father. You know, he was the firstborn of Rebecca. And there was favoritism there. But we know the story, how Joseph lost his coat. And in losing, he won. Because I'll tell you what happened. He lost the coat of many colors, again, which came with the honor of man, the favoritism of man. And then his character was tested and it was refined. And through that period of time, when you feel like you are not winning, but you're losing, you got to remember these things. Sometimes it's a testing time, a proving time, where you just got to walk it out. I mean, we know that his character was tested. His faith was tested because he was a slave. He became a slave. He was falsely accused. He became a prisoner. But you know what? God's purpose and God's presence and God's favor remained on his life. So we know how it ended. He ended up with a new coat of what? Royalty. A new coat of royalty. And his new coat was given to him, not by man, but by God. And that coat had a mantle on it. Oh my goodness. His coat of many colors represented where he started. He thought his coat defined him. But once he stripped off man's coat, he was able to step into his true destiny. Had he remained in the coat that man placed upon him, he never would have entered into the coat that God and the destiny God had for his life coming upon him. So, it's not where you start, but it's where you finish, church. It's not where you start, it's where you finish. Joseph didn't grow weary in well-doing, and he reaped because he won by losing. In the midst of betrayal and loss, God can work his redemptive plan for your future. And we've all experienced loss in this earth life. But we can win in losing because we can trust God to do what we cannot do with our own hands. His plans are always good for us, and they bring us a hope and a future. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. He's got you. The Holy Ghost has got you. God's got you, Martin. God's got you. Hallelujah. New things are coming. A new day is coming. A brighter day is coming. His plan, his will, his purpose for you, it's going to be established. You're going to accomplish that which he has for you, and it's going to be glorious in the name of Jesus. How about losing pride for humility? Now, there's another story about a coat. How about the prodigal son who won by losing his pride and self-sufficiency? He was out there doing his own thing, squandering all his inheritance. But because he humbled himself and threw his pride away and repented, it led him back to a place of God's provision, God's grace, God's goodness in his life. And what did he receive? A new coat and a ring that was placed upon his hand. His family, his status and family was restored unto him. And God's out there working for all those of you who maybe have loved ones or people that you know that maybe have lost their way. God's gathering them unto himself. He's preparing a walk to bring them unto himself. So don't you lose heart. You be as the father of the prodigal son, and you have your neck outstretched in faith, looking for them. They're coming home. They're coming home. They're coming home. Not just to your home, but to Father's house, to Father's home. Amen. You know, our filthy rags can be exchanged for robes of righteousness. And that kind of is represented in that story. Replacing the old for the new. You know, somebody else that did that is the Apostle Paul. He won by losing. He had it all. He had worldly status. He had position. He had honor. He had authority. But he lost the old and that old identity to gain the new, to gain a new name. Amen. I know it's so important what we call ourselves. And sometimes people in a situation where they feel like they're losing, they call themselves a loser. But God says, change your name. I've given you a new name. Amen? You are son of God. You are a daughter of God. You're a child of God. Hallelujah. So what are you calling yourself in this season of life? Blessed and no less? Blessed and highly favored? The blessing going somewhere to happen, filled with the glory of God, filled with the power of God, looking for somebody just to lay hands on, looking for somebody to have a word of encouragement to speak into their lives. Amen. Looking to be somebody who disperses that which is on the inside of you from the Holy Spirit. I'll tell you, if you're going through something in this season, you just need to reach out to somebody else. Amen. And bring the goodness of God in their life. And pretty soon you'll leave your own sorrows behind and you'll find joy in your giving. You'll find grace in your giving. You'll find peace in your giving. And when you sow with the heart that you sow with, God's going to see to it. It's going to come back to you in that same measure, in that same way. So you be like God and you change your name. Abram to Abraham. Amen. The father of many nations, even before he was. God called those things that be not as though they are. And you've got to be a speaking spirit that calls things that be not as though they are. And then you'll see it come to pass. And oh, what a great rejoicing it shall be. Amen. You'll find yourself winning by losing. You win a new name. That name is Victor. Yeah. By losing the old name that's called defeated. Amen. You'll win a new life by laying your life down. Amen. You win a new name. Your name is Christian. Follower of Christ. By losing your old name, sinner, you go from sinner to saint. Amen. Amen. There's a new name written down in glory. Yes. Oh, and it's mine. Yes, it's my glory to God. Is it yours? Do you have a new name? Hallelujah. You know, the devil thought he won when Jesus died on the cross. But he was the one who lost. Amen. Jesus was the one who won. He won by losing. He won you, and he won me, and he won everyone who calls upon his name. Amen. Glory to God.